choir. Thank you for that powerful rendition of that chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation. One day that's going to be not just something we sing about, but we'll be participating in it as it actually takes place. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 6, I have put my faith throughout the ministry in this fact. With everything possible within me, I want to preach the word, not men's ideas and philosophies. And last night I heard a preacher say this. He said, a church that is taught and practices the word will be a church that never dies and goes out of existence. And I'm thankful because, see, the other part of that is a people that love the word of God. They love the truth. They want to know what the lines in the word says and not what the in between the lines. They want to know what the lines say. And I appreciate people that love the truth. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. When we look at the book of Revelation, it's not just so we can have an interesting time, intrigued with the details of prophecy. But I believe the book of Revelation has a message for us. And that message is God has told us what is to come. Number one, so we can be prepared. But number two, so that we can be encouraged that when it comes, we know that God is in control. Things aren't happening randomly. Things are all happening according to the will and the plan and the purposes of God Almighty. Aren't you glad to know that? That's why we don't have to despair when we hear the news tomorrow, whatever that news holds. Our God is in control. Amen. If you believe your God is in control, lift your hands and ask him to speak to us again through the preaching of the word. Would you ask him, say, speak to me personally, God. I want to hear, Lord, through the preaching. I want to hear your message for me. Lord, help me to hear that Jesus be Jesus through the preaching. Lord, I pray you'd shut up our hearts and minds to the truth. Remove every distraction from the house of God. Meet every need, whatever it is, oh Lord. May faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray these things in the name of Christ and for his glory. Amen. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Not only did I read about it, the choir just sang about it. But verse 1 said, the Lamb opened the seals. If you'll remember, no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was found worthy. John began to weep, but the announcement was made, you don't need to weep because the Lamb is worthy, and he is able to open the seals. We showed you there's this scroll here. We called it a book. Back then it was a scroll. It had seven seals, and only the one that was authorized to open that could open that. So now here in chapter 6, the one that's worthy is going to open those seals. And we're going to see, not yet, we're not going to see what's in the book. We're going to see what's under the seal. He's going to open these seals. And these first four seals I've read to you contain horses with their riders. And these horses with their riders reveal the things that's going to happen on our planet Earth. Now, you could go to the Old Testament many centuries before this, and Zechariah in the Old Testament, he saw these same horses, except he saw them as chariot horses. But clear back in the Old Testament, we were told these horses are coming. I'm preaching this morning, hear the hooves of the horses. Hear the hooves of the horses. Clear back to Zechariah, the message was these horses are coming. Now we're going to hear some terrible things today represented by these horses, but I must tell you, these horses are only the beginning of the end. They only announce the things, as terrible as these horses and these horsemen are, they only announce the more terrible things that are coming. Now, I want to tell you this morning from this message of the horse and the horsemen, and that's why I've entitled it, Hear the Hooves of the Horses. I want to announce the final age will be preceded by unprecedented destruction, unprecedented calamity and war and suffering. Listen, I want to tell us as a church, and I wish I could tell all of society, but these horrible times are coming. And if you would listen, you would hear the hooves of the horses. Amen. When I was growing up, I read vivaciously about Native Americans. We called them Indians in Oklahoma back then. Some take it as an insult now. It was no insult. But one of the things I always marveled about, and I heard they had it in those old movies, is you'd be out in the quiet wilderness, and the Native American, he'd get down on his knees and he'd put his ear to the ground. And he would stand up and say, you know, there's 24 horses coming, and 10 of them are black and 4 are white. And you know, he had it all down. You know, he put his ear to the ground, and he heard the horses that were coming. Now listen, I want to tell you something this morning. We may not be seeing these horses of Revelation right now. These horses that represent the awful things that are coming, we may not actually see the horses right now, but I'm convinced, even though we cannot see them, if we would put our ear to the ground, we could hear the sound of their hooves, because they are on their way, as God has said they would be. How many believes you can hear the sound of the hooves? I meant to get an audio clip so we could just play it the whole time. The pounding of galloping horses coming our direction. Right now, we don't know what's happened since we've been in church. Everybody's asking about the present crisis in Syria. And I want to say in summary, and then I want to explain, but what's happening in Syria may not be the horse that is coming, but it's definitely the sound of its hooves. That's the way I look at it. This may not be the end, but it's the sound of the hooves of the coming of the horse. You see, it's already been promised by the enemies of Israel, Iran, and different enemies of Israel, that if America makes a missile strike into Syria, that they're going to attack Israel. Israel's going to pay. Israel has made clear she is going to protect herself. She's going to defend herself. And Russia has even got involved and said that if United States wants to fire missiles into Syria, that Russia is going to provide anti-missile weaponry. And all of this, I'm not telling you the end is going to be tomorrow because of the Syrian crisis, but I'm telling you, I don't dismiss it either. Because when I think of Israel rising up, being bombed and rising up, in fact, one of our senators just said that this could easily escalate into a nuclear bomb being used. Amen. If Israel gets attacked from all sides. And I'm not telling you that's the horse, but I'm telling you one thing. When I hear the news, what's going on in Syria today, I'm telling you I do hear the sound of the hooves of these horses. Hallelujah. I want to be aware. You see, these horses are headed our direction. The horses are advancing. The horses are closer than they have ever been. And God help us to put our ears to the ground. Amen. And hear the sound of the hooves. Amen. Unplug from social media. Amen. Pull the earplugs out from the iPod. Amen. Turn the television off. Amen. Shut out of the noise of the gossip and listen, and you'll hear the sound of the hooves. And they say, be prepared. The end is coming and it's going to get horrible. But even as it gets horrible, know this: God is in control. These horses with their horsemen are actually sent by God as judgment upon a world. A judgment upon a world in response to this world's ill treatment and rejection of the truth and the people of God. I want to tell you, I'm just going to tell you what I believe. I don't believe we've ever seen a time in America where the powers that be are turning rapidly and rapidly anti-Christ and anti-Christian. How many believe that? And these horses are sent as a judgment of people's refusal of the truth and people's attack on the true people of God. You say, Pastor Hurst, you're just a doomsday preacher. Well, I want you to know, doomsday preaching is only undesirable and ridiculous if there's no doomsday coming. But if there's a doomsday coming, we need doomsday preaching. What good does your best life now, what good does that do when the end, destructive end, is hastening towards you? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we need to turn an eye to eternity. How many hears the sounds of the hooves? These horses are the precursors that human history, as we know it, is wrapping up. Eternity is racing towards us. The horses are coming. At one time, the call was in America, the British are coming. But I want you to know, for the Christian today, the call is these horses are coming. Let's look at them. Amen. Man, this beast, this specially created angel of God, they are the openers of the seals. And this first beast, this firstly specially created angel, leader in worship, he opens the first seal to reveal the first horse and its rider. And he gives an invitation. It says, come and see. But really, it's a twofold invitation. It's not so much John, come and see, but it's that the horse come out from under the seal and be seen. And so this special Greek created angel, this beast, as the lamb opens the seal, the beast says, even the lamb opens the seal, the beast says, come and be seen. And therefore we see the first horse and its horsemen. The first horse is a white horse. And I believe we have a photo there. It's a white horse. Amen. I saw and behold a white horse from this seal. And we're described. The horseman is described. He has a bow and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. This first horse and horseman. Now, some people have said that this represents Jesus. And I beg to differ, and I'll just give you a few reasons. But they say this represents Jesus on a white horse, which is the gospel, and the gospel is going to conquer the earth. Well, I beg to differ for several reasons. Number one, Jesus is the one that's opening the seal. He's not the rider on the horse. Didn't it just say that the lamb opened the seals? A while ago I said the beast did what I was intending to say. The beast announced what was taking place and called that horse out. But Jesus isn't the one on the horse. He is the lamb that is opening the seal. And yes, yes, later in Revelation 19, we read that Jesus rides. He comes riding a white horse. But the difference is, it says there that he has many crowns. And the word is diadem. Diadem, sovereign ruler, almighty one. He has many crowns and he has a sword. This rider of the first horse, it says he has but one crown, and it's not a diadem, it's a stephanos. It's the crown, the laurel wreath, the laurel crown of conquering. And he doesn't have a sword, he has a bow in his hand. And so I really do not believe this rider is Christ. Others say that the rider of the white horse represents the Antichrist, who's going to conquer this world through a false peace. And ultimately, I believe this horse and horseman does prefigure the Antichrist. But the point to be made is the color of the horse. White, a white horse is the horse that the conquering king or the conquering general rode in celebration of victory. They would come back from a victory on the battlefield. They would have a celebration march. And whatever horse the king had rode into battle, he would ride a white horse to represent, we have conquered. This horse represents a conquering power. There's one thing that's mentioned and it seems insignificant, but it says the horseman on the horse has, he was given a bow. You've got to understand, these are first century Christians that first got this vision that meant something to them. The Romans marched and conquered, and they had their spear and they had their sword, and they built an empire that looked invincible. It looked like it would never fall. The Roman Empire struck hearts in the heart, or struck fear in the hearts of men and nations. But even though they built this empire, suddenly from the east, there was a group of people called the Parthians, and they did not fight on foot, and they did not fight with sword, but they fought from horseback, and they fought with a bow and an arrow, and they struck fear in the hearts of people, because suddenly they came out of nowhere and conquered the village and conquered the town and conquered the country. And they arose from the east. And the people of the Roman Empire were under the fear of their empire crumbling because of the invasion of these Parthians on the horse and with the bow. And so the first century readers of this vision, they knew what that was being referenced. A conquering power that arises suddenly, a conquering power that comes from the outside, hear me, comes from the outside, a conquering power that comes from the east, rushing in and destroying the power of an empire. Listen, I don't believe we can, but we can make specific, completely specific predictions, but I believe we got to get the general drift. You see, the feeling of America, the feeling of Western civilization is we've been a great empire and will never fall. Amen. But I want to tell you already, if you'd listen to the hooves of the horse, there is a conquering power that has arisen. It's made incursions in amongst us. It's attacking the institutions in our land. And I want you to know, we can say we're America, we'll never fall, we'll never fall. But here comes the horsemen, the Parthians. They're shooting their deadly arrows of destruction. Even it's not enough to say we're a great empire, we'll never fall. Because I'm telling you, the scripture has said that every empire of man is going to crumble. And God is trying to tell us, here, don't get complacent. Don't lay back and relax. I'm telling you, we're living in a time in America, the only thing matters is who wins the ball game on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday. That's as far as people's interest goes. I want to tell you, it's time we get a little more involved as the people of God. Put our ears to the ground, and we'll hear the sound of a conquering force that's coming to destroy our nation and destroy civilization and humanity as we know it. Do you hear the hoofs? What is this conquering force and power? I want to note again, it's from the outside. I don't know if it's military, but how many knows there's a nation of the world right now that could raise 1 million to 2 million army like that? It already has much of it in place. Right? I don't know if it's military. I don't know if it's ideology. Only those my age and older remember what it was to live under the fear of communists taking over our country. But I remember from the youngest child, my dad quoting one of the Russian leaders, and it's slipping my mind which one it was right now. It wasn't Stalin, it was after him, that said, "We'll take over America without firing a shot. Get into the education, get into the ideology." Well, you say communism's over. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Just got a different name, socialism. Amen. I'm not here to preach philosophy, and I know there's a difference of those. I'm just telling you that we have been invaded by ideologies that will destroy us as a nation and destroy us as a people. Amen. Am I telling you the truth? That's why I'm saying, why are we so concerned about who wins the next ball game? What we ought to be concerned is the ideologies. And it's not just that they're sweeping the world, they're sweeping the church. Listen, the church shouldn't be a mirror image of the world and its thinking and just throw in some spiritual songs. I'm telling you, the church ought to think differently than this world. It ought to have a different ideology. It ought to have a different perspective. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I'm talking about a conquering power. Is it military? Is it ideology? Is it a religion? We know there's a religion today that is bent on conquering this world. I know we have government officials that want to negotiate and all of this. You do not negotiate with people that are bent on conquering, and they're bent on conquering. Whatever it is, it leads. It's a destructive conquering force. And God allows that conquering force to take over the world for a season of time. Amen. We see that. I'm going to get back to that in a second. But listen, it's coming. You say, "We'll pray so it won't come." No need to pray, it won't come. It's going to come because God is going to allow that conquering power to conquer for a season. Now, I want to leave that for a moment to make an application. And hear me across the building. This isn't an empty exercise in prophecy. God's saying something to us. If Jesus is not my Lord, if my life is not surrendered to Him, if I have not given Him my mind, my heart, my emotions, my future, my very living, if Jesus is not my King, I will be conquered by that invading force. I will surrender to that invading power. But I'm telling you, there's a group of people that will not surrender, who will not give in, and it's those who call Jesus Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We bow to none other. We receive our commands from none other. We're under no other influence but Lord Jesus, King Jesus. And I want to say, put it a different way, unless a person is fully surrendered to Jesus in these last days, they will be conquered by lust. They will be conquered by materialism. They will be conquered by the pessimism and the ideologies of our time if they are not surrendered. You say, "I'm not, I still go to church." If you're not surrendered to Jesus, you will be conquered by the forces of this world. I don't want to be. I want to be conquered by one power and one force, and that's Jesus Christ. Has He conquered you this morning? I want to note before we go on, God is in control. I want you to notice this one thing. It's not by mistake. It's not just a way of saying it. But look, when it talks about this white horse, a crown was given unto him. He did not take this on his own. He did not accomplish it on his own. A crown of conquering was given. Who is doing the giving? God was. So even though there's a conquering destructive force, God is the one that is in control. Hallelujah. Second horse, second seal, second horse. The Lamb opens the second seal, and the second beast says, "Come and see. This horse is red." This is the second horseman. Now the first horse brought a lust for conquest and conquering and control. But conquest and conquering and control, even though it comes under the auspices of peace, the white horse, conquering and conquest will always end in war and bloodshed. And the red horse symbolizes war, unrest, slaughter, bloodshed. Jesus says it's coming. Wars, rumors of war. Tell me, as you listen to the news or read it, if we don't live where every day there's news of wars and rumors of wars. Did you know we mentioned Syria? Did you know that there's estimates that already 100,000 people have died in that conflict alone. 100,000 people. Did you know in the last year, I mean, it spans a distance here. There's some lower estimates, but did you know some estimates say up towards 100,000 Christians were martyred last year? How many knows we live in a world of bloodshed? This red horse stands for bloodshed. But I want to notice something. If you go back to that scripture for just a moment, it says they shall kill one another. If the white horse represents an outside power coming in, the red horse represents an inside power that rises up. Inside violence. Inside fighting. They shall kill one another. You say, well, you've talked about Syria. You can talk about Egypt. You're talking about other places. That won't happen in America. Well, could I tell you that we're on the eve of celebrating September 11? I said celebrating. I meant commemorating. Excuse me, we don't celebrate. We're commemorating 11, those that lost their lives, the horrible things that happened. How many members of protest not long back that turned violent? What about Boston? What about Boston? What about Houston? All this violence and bloodshed. And you know, I'm not saying this prophetically. This is just the conclusion that I've drawn. But you let things get much worse in our country, and there'll be gangs roaming our city, taking what they want to take. There'll be bloodshed like you've never heard. I mean, we're already, many cities under the budget cuts are cutting down on police force. Amen. Everything is set for people to be killing one another. Amen. That's, this red horse is going to ride not just through the world but through the cities. Amen. It's an awful thing. Bloodshed is an awful thing. Terrorist sleeping cells awakened. Amen. Gangs roaming the streets. Violence and wickedness. Amen. You know, the red horse, you can hear the sound of its hooves when the majority of the fair on television is violence. I mean, not just, you know, used to be they would shoot a gun and you'd see a cowboy or a Native American fall off the horse in the distance. I'm talking about wicked, horrible, graphic violence is the main fare of America. I'm telling you, that's the sound of the hooves. That kind of violence and bloodshed is where we're headed. Can you hear that? A violent society, and it shouldn't really surprise us. And for that to come, the moment we legalize abortion and the killing of the unborn, we open the door to our society to every other form of violence. Back then we could hear in the distance the pounding of the hooves of the red horse, and he will ride unrestrained throughout the kingdoms and the nations of this world. You say, Pastor Hurst, tell us something positive. I will. Even when he rides, God is in control. How do you know? Read it. It's right there. The red horse, and power was given to him. He doesn't have it on his own. Power was given to him that sat thereon that they should kill. And there was given him a great sword. Let me tell you something. If God gives the power, if God gives the sword, he can take it back, and he will. This is but for a season. He's going to ride through this world. But this isn't all that's coming. This isn't the end. God's got a plan. God's got it under control. Aren't you glad you're on his side? Hallelujah. And power was given to him. And what does he do? He takes peace from the earth. One of the biggest fallacies is to hear politicians of the day talking about peace. Whether peace in the Middle East, peace in our world, it'll never be. I remember when the Imperials first came out, that old 8-track hit, and preachers went to it preaching against the Imperials and their wildly whirly songs. But I do remember one. I remember because I listened to it, so I wasn't a rebel, but I did. How many remembers? Come on, let me see your hands, rebels. 8-track owners, there will never be any peace till God is seated at the conference table. How many believes that message? There will never be any peace. Peace is going to be taken from this world because there cannot be peace. They talk about peace. Paul said in Thessalonians, he said, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The white horse was attacks from the outside. The red horse is violence and internal fighting from the inside. And then there's the third seal, the third horse. And this third horse, amen. Let's read what it says here. Brother, I might have sent you a mistake on the outline here. We'll find out in a minute. But he opened this third seal. And the call, the invitation came, come and see. And this black horse went forth and had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice say, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. This black horse and its horseman, that's where the mistake may be, it should be horseman. Amen. He begins his ride. We can listen to his hooves. Amen. The conquest of the white horse brought the bloodshed and war of the red horse. The bloodshed and war of the red horse brings the famine. And the starvation of the black horse. If you can see, I don't know if you can quite make it out of the darkness, but the black horseman carries a pair of balances. Amen. This is symbolizing to us scarcity. There's not enough of anything to go around. And since things are so scarce, they've gotten till they weigh the very amount that a piece of bread weighs. Amen. You know, I'm telling you, we don't want to hear it. We want to believe that things are going to get economically better and better. But the scripture says, if you will listen, scarcity, a lack, a great lack of even the necessities is on the way. Now, you with families, you know what a great emergency is when it's 10 o'clock at night and you discovered you've ran out of milk and cereal. Isn't it? How many's raised kids, you know what I'm talking about? 10, 11 o'clock at night, we're out of milk, Mom. We're out of cereal. I just bought 6 gallons Friday. There's coming a time. What does he say here? Things are so scarce, it's a measure of wheat for a penny. You say, a penny? That's not much. No. You got to remember, this is King James English penny. That stood for a denarius. And a denarius, 1 denarius, was 1 day's wage, an all-day working wage. And so it's saying here that a man will work all day long and take what he earned, his wage for that day of hard work, and he'll only buy enough food for himself. Reminds me of that ditch digger in Chicago years ago. He said, I dig the ditch to buy, get the money. I dig the ditch to get the money, to buy the bread, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. How many's ever felt like yours right there? But this is a reality here. When this rider comes, because a man will work all day, and that wage of a 1 day's work, I don't know what an average wage is today. Let's just make it up. Let's say it's $100. He'll earn $100, and it'll take him $100 to buy enough bread just to feed himself. And 3 measures for barley. You say, well, I get a good deal. I can feed my family. I'll work a whole day for $100 and I'll buy 3 measures of barley. But the thing is, barley's cheaper because it's not as nutritious. It's not. It doesn't do as well. Those are horrible times of scarcity. Amen. He did say, we've got interference here. He did say, the olive trees and the grapevines won't be hurt. But the emphasis is yet, that's coming, but it's not going to happen yet. You see, warfare, hard economic times, natural catastrophes lead to famine. You know, I'm not one of these that every time something happens, the price of gas goes up, I say it's a sign of the end. But I wonder when I look at cereal boxes after I've read this. Have you noticed how little they're getting the cereal boxes? It's a sign of the end. Read it right there. And they don't change the price. They make the box smaller. Boy, you didn't knock a metal like this, did you? I mean, I'm upset. Buzz out. Thank you. Notice how small they're getting? I mean, they're about the size of an individual Cracker Jacks box anymore. And you don't even get the prize you used to get. And the box isn't just getting smaller. The cardboard's getting thinner. I mean, if cereal box cardboard gets any thinner, you'll be able to see through it. Brothers, is there something I can do? How many believes it's scriptural? You know, I've heard my dad say many times after I got grown, he said, my greatest concern raising your kids is that there come a time on our earth that I wouldn't be able to feed you. How many dads with dependent children can relate to that? Wouldn't it be horrible to know that your whole salary for that day would only buy enough bread for one person? It's horrible. And I want to say to the church, hear the hoods, and I want to hurry to a close. We must not think economic hard times are over, even though the media keeps trying to convince us they are. You say, how can you say that? Because I heard the sound of the hoods. Amen. I must go on. I'm more concerned, though, than a famine of bread. I'm more concerned about a famine of the true preaching of the Word of God. You say, don't we have many, many churches? Yes. Aren't we overran with preachers? Yes. Amen. But I want to tell you, the Bible says, and it's happening, there will be a famine for the hearing of the Word of God, the true teaching and preaching. Aren't you glad for a place that you can rest assured that the Word of God is taught and preached? A famine is coming. People will starve to death spiritually. And I want you to hear me this morning. In this tragic time, more and more Christians are being tempted by a non-committal go where you hear a gospel that pleases the flesh, go where you hear what the flesh wants to hear. They're tempted to that, but thank God for a people that says, we want the bread from heaven. We don't want barley, we want the wheat from God. And see that God is in control, because even here he says, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. God is in control. And then there's the fourth seal, the fourth horse. The Lamb opens the fourth seal, and the fourth beast announced, come and see. The fourth horse has riders. Not one, but riders. Some say the other one just kind of runs behind. He's not actually on the horse, but the picture in my mind is this horse with riders. I looked. This horse, he's pale. His name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Hell here is Hades, not a reference to the place of burning, but the place of the grave. Death and the grave followed. What is the pale horse? The Greek literally means a greenish horse, the pallor of death. I mean, if somebody tells you you look a little green, you get worried, don't you? It's the color of death. Amen. It's a pale green horse. Death and hell, death and the grave, two riders. Why? Because conquering brings war and bloodshed. War and bloodshed bring famine, and famine brings death. Amen. Now here, this is frightening, church. Let's get it here. In verse 8, it said power was given these riders over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the field. Amen. I did some quick mathematics, Brother Ponting. A fourth of the population right now of earth is 1.8 billion people. Can you imagine events happening where a fourth of the earth's population dies? 1.8 billion people. For perspective, that's all the population of China, all the population of the United States, and almost all of the population of Mexico combined. That's a lot of people dying. Nothing even close to that in all the tragedies, in all the wars, nothing even close to that has ever happened on earth. I mean, World War I, World War II, tragic, complete huge volumes of death, but nothing comes close to that. And then almost as a result of that, people die with sword, they die with war, hunger, famine, and then it says, and the beast of the earth, even the beast, it gets so bad, the wild beast, the beasts begin to kill people. Why? Because war, economic disaster, leaves places of desolation. Hey man, how many's heard of the news about Detroit and other places? You've heard of the blocks and blocks of empty lots and houses and overgrown things. In fact, I don't know if you heard, but the packs of wild dogs that are roaming these desolate cities that have been abandoned, coyotes in the alleys of city. I'm not talking about we're going to have an invasion of coyotes and all of that. I'm using that as an example. Things are going to get so bad that this world's going to turn wild, and once again men will even have to fear, amen, wild beasts coming in and killing their children and all of that. You see, it can happen. Amen. You let some kind of cyber warfare take out the computers that run our power grids, and you'll see how quickly this world will divert to a wildness. Amen. It's going to be an awful time. You say, well, I don't see it ever happen. No, but if you would listen, you would hear the sound of the hooves of the approaching. But yet, in all of this, God is in control. Look what it says. Power was given them. God gave it to them. God can take it back. Hallelujah. Can I talk about the ending with his ear to the ground? Why did he put his ear to the ground? Because vibrations travel better through a solid than they do through the air. I want to tell you what we need to do. We need to keep our ear on what is solid. You listen to this world and they're experts. You're listening to sounds through the air. But I'm telling you, if you'll get your ear to what is solid, you'll hear the approaching of the hoofs. You may be a young person and say, and I appreciate your attentiveness this morning, but you may be a young person and say, that doesn't interest me, that doesn't involve me. You know, I don't really see how that's happening. That's like some kind of fantasy movie or book. If you'd get your ear to something solid, like the ending did. Amen. You'd hear the sound. How many be a little ridiculous for a moment? Would you do that? How many has got a Bible with you? If it's on your phone, use your phone. What'd you just do? I'm not saying you're actually going to hear hooves beating. But I'm telling you, this is the way we need to be. Every time we hear the news, we need to be like this. Every time we get the bad news, we need to be like this. Hallelujah. Because not only will you hear the hooves of those four horses coming in behind, you'll hear the hooves of the horse of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, come on, church. Let's have church while we're here. Hallelujah. Get your ear to something solid. Come, music. I want to be listening. I want to be in tune to God and His plan and His will. Amen. Back in 1998, we got a new computer, and it was powerful enough to run that deer hunting game. I thought that was pretty neat. You could set up your deer stand in some beautiful landscape there. Countryside, evergreen, snow everywhere. Wasn't a deer in sight. So you got it all set up and you sat there. You sat there in your chair. And eventually off of this is here. Anyone remember that game? And it started getting louder. And your blood would get to pump. You'd raise your bow up. And then all of a sudden you'd see a little speck in the distance. And it'd get larger and larger. I'm telling you, that's an illustration. But I believe if we're listening to the word and the will of God, whether young or old, we'd hear the sound of the hooves of these that I've preached about. And as we listen, they're going to get louder. One day, maybe a speck at first, but we're going to see these horses ride through human history. Why? How can you be so sure? Because the Word of God said it. I want to talk as I get ready to open these altars. I want to talk about on an individual level. I'm talking about individual, not prophecy, not national, not global, individual. Some of you not only hear the distant hooves of the horses, you right now are having horses gallop through your life. They're galloping right through your living room. They're galloping right into your relationship. I'm talking about the powers of the enemy that seek to destroy. It's time to seek the Lord. He can give victory over that. I mean, you say, Pastor, there's no other way to describe it. You're right. It's not that I just hear the sound of something on its way. I mean, it's right there in my living room. It's galloping through my mind and my heart and my life. Some think because they haven't yet seen the results of decisions they're making that's taken them further from God. They're making these decisions that's taken them further from God, and they think because they haven't seen the results, all is well. But if you'd listen, you'd hear the sound of the hooves. You say, Pastor, you're negative. Well, I want to tell you something. I operate under this. What if the preacher doesn't tell us? What if the preacher doesn't tell us? But I'm also operating under this. It's only negative to those who don't see the big picture and see that God is in control. Hallelujah. How many knows we shall overcome, we shall triumph? And those of you that have the horses galloping right through your life and your living room, you can have victory this morning, because God can take that power away from them. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Let's say, God, I want my ears open. I want my eyes open. Hallelujah. We'll just seek Him across the building. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Do you hear the sound of the hooves? Do you hear the sound of the hooves? Do you hear the sound of the hooves? Do you? Do you? Oh God, give us a church that's in tune to what God is doing. Hallelujah. I know it's not prophetic, but I want to first open these altars for those that say, you know, you described it. I'm not talking on the prophetic level. I'm talking about on the individual. You see, I've got horses that are galloping through my life and wrecking destruction, taking my peace, filling my life with hurt and darkness. Would you be the first in the altars this morning and say, God, I want you to come riding and dispel that this morning. Would you come right now? You've got horses riding through your life. Maybe through your mind. It's a battle you're fighting. Amen. Horses galloping, negative and dark, tempting. Are there others that's going to come and join these? You don't like those horses. You want the horse, the rider, Jesus Christ, to be the only one that rides through your life. Are there others to be honest and join these? I don't like the things that's riding through my family or my life or my heart. Are there others that would join? Young people, I'm not indicating you're not sharp. You are. I'm talking about spiritually. You understand what I'm saying spiritually? These things can just destroy our lives and wreak havoc and just chaos, things that ride through our life. If you have a horse riding through your life, would you come and say, God, I don't want that there. I want only King Jesus to be in my life. Are you here? Would you come right now? Don't hesitate. Come right now. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. It's only havoc. It's only wreck. It's only ruin. Amen. Come and ask God to take the power of that horse away. There's others. You'd be honest. Come on. Amen. Come on. You say, I don't like these things riding through my life. I want King Jesus. I want the giver of peace to be in my life. Are there others that would come and say, I don't like these things that are riding through my life? And when you get here, call out to God. Call out to the peace giver. Call out to the peace giver. Call out to the one that rides the white horse, whose name is the Word of God, whose name is holy and pure and righteous. Come on, church, are there others? You're tired of the horses riding right through your family, destroying, riding right through your living room. Amen. Amen. Take in your peace. Hallelujah. Would you come? Maybe you'd come this morning to pray for these, or maybe you just come to say, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about what's going on. And I know as the horses ride and destruction come, I want to see the church have revival. I want to see the church have a harvest. I want to see an influx of souls. Amen. Would you come and fill these altars this morning? Come on, let's be serious. We live in serious times, tremendous times. It calls for response from the church. It calls for a response from the church. Oh God, I see what's happening. I see what's happening in my world. I see what's happening in my nation. I see what's happening in my church. I see what's happening in my family. I see what's happening in my life. And I'm not going to give in to it. I'm going to call out to the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to let King Jesus come riding through my life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's pray and seek the Lord. Christ, we need your power around this altar right now. We need the power of Christ. Lord, may we not just hear the hooves of those horses I preached about, but may we hear the sound of the Savior amongst us. Lord, may we hear your voice. May we feel your touch. May we know your power, Lord, right now. Touch your people. Move in the lives of your people, oh God. Give victory this morning. Give victory over fear. Give victory over darkness. Give victory over temptation. Give victory over the taking of peace from the life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Oh, we've got a season for revival. We've got a season for a harvest of souls. We've got a time for preparation. Amen. They're not yet here. Yes, we hear the sound of their hooves, but they're not yet here. There's time to seek the Lord. There's time to call upon his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to move. I ask you to touch. I ask you to speak, Lord. God, you love these people. God, you love these people. These are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. These are your people. Bless them. Help them. Strengthen them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus be the Lord.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Come on, pray it. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus, come on, church. I feel an urgency in the altar this morning. Call out to him, church. Hallelujah. I feel an urgency. I feel an urgency. Call out to him. Call out to him, church.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart.
Oh, come on, let's continue to seek him. Hallelujah.
Jesus be the Lord.
Hear the sound of the hooves. Hear the sound of the hooves. Oh, bless your name, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But Lord, we bow now, and Lord, we confess it now. You are Lord. You are Master. Jesus says, and you say well, for so I am. Hallelujah. You say well, for so I am. Hallelujah. Oh, seek him. Call upon him. You that came about those horses, listen. You'll also hear the voice of the Master. Hallelujah. Peace, be still. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all.